neighbor. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. You may have heard that story before, and I wonder, as you had listened to it, I wonder if it made you feel guilty. I wonder if it made you feel guilty. It makes me feel guilty when I read it. Maybe it pricks your conscience. Well, this morning, what I want to suggest is that from this story is that Jesus is telling you to stop doing that. To stop doing that. I'll explain why in a moment, why I say that. But let's just take a moment to pray. God, our Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And we pray now that you'll help us to understand it better. By your Spirit, we pray that you will lead us and teach us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what your motivation is for being a good neighbor. What's your motivation? Where does it come from? You see, I think there are 2 possible approaches to motivate us. And one of those is a kind of guilt motivation. And the other is actually about grace, about a grace that motivates us. The first way you can be motivated is by moralism, isn't it? It can be either secular, it can be religious. The secular person says, if you're progressive and you're enlightened, you will share with your neighbours because that's the right and the good thing to do. And of course, there's a religious version of that as well. You must care for your neighbours because the law says so, because the religious code demands it. You see, you can have a religious and a secular moralism, both basically motivated by guilt. You have so much, you have so little. Don't you feel bad? You must give some away. You must help the people in need. That's exactly how most of us work. That's how actually most of charity appeals work, isn't it? They're about pricking the guilt conscience in us. And in this parable, Jesus puts into the story 2 people who are very moral. There's the priest and there's the Levite. The very 2 people who should have been there to care for those in need. And what is Jesus trying to show us here in this story? It might seem that we think it's very obvious. I'm not so sure it's always as obvious as we might like to think. He's showing us that people who out of moral duty, who out of guilt to help neighbours, it can only do that to a certain extent. When it comes to actually a kind of costly, sacrificial neighbourliness, a kind of radical love, when it perhaps risks our lives, they don't do it. We can't do it. None of us can do it. We cross over, we turn a blind eye. And so Jesus shows us that morality and guilt can only take you so far. It can only take you so far. It can maybe make you a little bit more generous, but it can't make you into a radically generous person like the way that Jesus is showing us here. It can do that thing when you're watching the advert, the charity advert for 30 seconds, it can prick your conscience and you can do something about it. But it can't radically change you into a sacrificially loving person that Jesus is showing us here. So if you're feeling guilty right now for your lack of being a good neighbor, I would say to you, stop it. Stop it. Jesus wants us to stop it because it won't take you very far. Yes, it can heighten your conscience to the fact that you can't meet this standard, but it can only take you so far. It'll take you down the road of being a self-justifier, just like the expert in the law. It won't take you where Jesus wants you to go, because Jesus is not trying to make the man feel guilty. He's not saying, look, what a terrible neighbor you are. Now try a little bit harder to be a better neighbor. No, the key to this parable is where Jesus places the expert in the law. And we saw it in the drama, if you were looking carefully. And it's not where we think. We tend to read this story like this, don't we? We tend to invert this story. A man just like you, Mr. Lawyer, was riding on a donkey on the road, and there was a Samaritan in the road, and he'd been beaten and robbed, and he was nearly dead. But that man, like you, though the man on the road was a Samaritan, he got off his donkey and he helped the Samaritan and he took him into the inn. Go and do likewise. That's how we tend to read it, in the opposite way. What if that was how he had been told the story? A man like you, an expert in the law, on the donkey, Samaritan on the road, the hated Samaritan, the outcast, the racially impure. What would the man do? I think the expert in the law would have laughed at him. What do you mean? You want me to be a traitor to my people? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, Jesus. You see, no self-respecting Israelite would do that. They'd be more likely to run over him again. The lawyer would have gone away uninspired and unchanged. But that's not what Jesus did. And that's not what this story is about. Jesus does put the expert in the law into the story, but not into the position of the one who stops to help. Do you see it? Jesus puts the Israelite in the road, the one who's been beaten and robbed, and he puts the hated Samaritan on the donkey passing through. Here's the key question here. The key question for the expert in the law and for us is, what if you were in the road? What if you were the one who'd been beaten? What if you had been the one that was covered in blood? The one whose life hung by a thread? What if you were there lying, dying? What if only your only hope was an act of grace from an enemy who doesn't owe you anything? In fact, owes you the opposite. An act of sacrificial, neighborly love who owes you nothing. What if that was you, Mr. Expert in the law? What if that was us this morning? Wouldn't you want to be shown mercy and grace? Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's not giving the expert in the law a do it. He's giving him something much greater, much more deeper, something much, much more profound. He's not saying, you're the one in the saddle, the Samaritan. No, he's saying, you're the one on the ground. You're the one in need. What if you experienced radical grace? What if you were shockingly saved by grace, by someone who owes you nothing but rejection? If that happened to you, wouldn't that give you a kind of new perspective on life? On life of those around you, your neighbours, people you work with? That's the kind of motivation, you see, that pushes us out in a radically and profound way. That means that we don't feel superior to others around us who are from the wrong place or from the wrong part of town or from the wrong school or from the wrong social class. The experience of radical grace is the motivation we need. It's that which stops us from being moralism, just falling into duty. Jesus is saying you'll never be a neighbor until you get a neighbor. You'll never be a neighbor until you get a neighbor. And you might be sitting there saying, well, that sounds very interesting, Eddie, but where do I get a neighbor like that? Where do we find a neighbor who is like this? Notice how Jesus turned the original question round. The expert asked, who is my neighbor? But at the end, Jesus asks in verse 36, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And essentially, Jesus is saying, he's saying to the expert, who is a neighbor to you? Who is a neighbor to you? Who is a neighbor to us this morning? Who is the neighbor to the man on the road? The expert in the law can hardly say it. He can hardly use the word Samaritan. But he gets what Jesus is saying. He gets it. The one who showed mercy. As we think about it, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into the world. He came down to our road. He came down to the place in the road. Of course, he owes us nothing but rejection for turning away from him. We owe him nothing. But we owe him everything because he's our creator and our God, the one who sustains us. But when he came down to our place in the road, he finds us bruised and naked. He finds us beaten. He sees our desires and our passion. He saw us and he had compassion on us, just like the Samaritan does. His heart went out to us. Despite being his enemies, he loved us. He knew to stop wouldn't just risk his life, but would actually cost his life as he died on a cross. But he did it. He showed us the mercy and grace we all need. He showed us how to be a neighbor. For Jesus got down off his donkey and he put us on his saddle in his place so that we could be saved. He was, he is our true neighbor. The neighbor we all need. If you see Jesus as the Good Samaritan, if you see the grace and the love poured out for you, that's going to change you. That will melt you and that will motivate you in a way that you've never experienced before. As you experience his grace and his mercy, you'll become the person of grace and mercy to the people around you, your neighbors. You see what the parable is about. The Good Samaritan is all about Jesus. It always was and it always is. Jesus and the radical grace that he shows towards us. And only when we see the true neighbor and what he's done for you and for me will we become true neighbors to those around us, those in need. Let's just take a moment to pray. God, our Father, thank you so much for the parable of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. And we thank you that Jesus Christ is our true neighbor, the one who sees us in our distress and in our sin, and yet comes down and rescues us. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to know more of your grace and your love in our lives, and that that would shape us and make us into radically different people, motivated by your grace, so that we might be good neighbors to others. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.